each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. We have no sound. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I can't hear myself. Anyway, welcome, everybody. This is Father Anthony, and I'm your brother. I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. We're coming to you from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and I can't hear myself, so we're going to Nick is running over here, so you can hear me, though.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay, Nick, help us out here. So I'm talking. Okay. Nothing. Odd way to begin the show. Okay. Nothing. Okay.
And you can hear us?
You can hear me over here. Okay.
Yeah,
I just can't hear myself. That is a very odd feeling. Anyway, it's probably easier for me to talk without this right now. Okay, so I'll do that. You guys keep your things on. But anyway, welcome, everybody. This is I'm Father Anthony, your brother, as I say, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. Coming to you from the, here we go, from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy here at St. Stanislaus Kostka. And thanks, Nick. He comes to the rescue. So, but extremely happy today because we've got two guests, David Carollo, who's been here a couple of times, seems to me, a couple of times.
Yeah, thank you, Father.
David is the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima of the United States, USA, and the International.
I'm a trustee of the International Board of the World Apostolate of Fatima also.
So we're happy to have you back. It's always
great to be back, Father.
This is a very, very interesting, the whole subject of Our Lady of Fatima, the apparitions, the message, and all that, which happened about almost 100 years ago.
We're getting there. We're close.
Unbelievable. And we're extremely happy. Well, extremely happy to you, David, but also equally as happy, and even maybe more so because he's
a special guest. Yeah.
Because he's come from all the way from across the Atlantic, Father Francisco Pereira from Portugal, and Father is the chaplain of the shrine or the sanctuary of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal. So welcome, yes. Father.
Thank you very much.
Extremely
I'm very honored to be here with you.
Wow. And you, so what brings you to Chicago?
Well, I came to Chicago to be with David Carollo and to go to Alabama to the EWTN studios for record show, the Church Universal.
Oh, sure.
So to talk about the apostolate of Fatima, about the shrine, to impending centenary celebrations and what the message that we want to transmit to the world as the curators of the message of Fatima. So I came from Fatima to Chicago, through Chicago to go to Alabama.
So you're on your way to Alabama.
We were there.
Oh, you are
Tuesday
there.
And Wednesday we were there.
So you, has that already been, has that aired?
Yes, yeah, and we made a good move. I was thinking, should I bring him into New York and to a shrine in New Jersey and then to Alabama? I said, no, let's bring him to Chicago. And thank God with the weather out there, we would have been sitting in New York probably.
That's right.
So it worked out well. But it's wonderful. We're actually, this is the second season we've been on with EWTN. They've invited us back for the Church Universal series. And it's a wonderful series that they're doing, highlighting different apostolates in the church and their work.
Sure.
And so we filmed two episodes down there this week. And then we thought it was very appropriate to have Father to highlight the work that our apostolate does in cooperation with the Shrine of Fatima.
Absolutely.
We work very closely.
Yeah, so as we go into that, and I said, like, I've got a lot of questions. I think we could go on for, we could, this could be a 2 or 3 hour hour show. I mean, there's just, because I find it, I've mentioned this before on the radio, but I was in, I just got back from Rome, but a few years ago, and actually about 6 years ago, because it was when I was there with Radio Maria.
Right, yeah.
We had a private audience with Pope Benedict, and it really struck me, and it stayed with me, when his basic message to the priests, and there weren't a lot of us, you know, there were probably maybe 50 of us, you know, we were kind of deep into the Vatican. I had never been that deep into the inner world of the Vatican, you know, behind those walls. But the Holy Father said that he challenged us by saying, you know, you must exercise, I don't know if you use the word exercise, but you must live your prophetic office as priests. This is very necessary today to live the prophetic office of our priesthood. You know, priest, we all share it by virtue of baptism and the priesthood, the kingship, and the prophetic life of Christ, you know, but as ministerial priests, you know, that we make it a point to, or be conscious of, be very sensitive to the prophetic in this day and time. And I thought that was, it stays with me. Whenever I think of Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima, the message and all that, I think of the prophetic message. Maybe before we kind of get into the, a lot of that, and there's so much to share here, but can you give us, for those who maybe don't know, I can't imagine that nobody, that there are people who don't know, but there may be people who really don't know, what are we talking about? When we talk about Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima, can you just give a little bit of a history of...
Well, I'd like to pick up this word that you used, the prophetic value, because the same Pope Benedict XVI, when we went to Portugal in 2010 to celebrate this pilgrimage to Fatima, he said that this is wrong who thinks that the prophetic value of the message of Fatima is passed away. So
it's wrong to think that.
It's wrong to think that.
Yes.
So the value of message of Fatima is still true. Now, even now in these times of when the communism almost gone, but new dictatorships has arisen.
Sure.
So we must fight every day for the conversion of sinners, for the peace in the world, and for the salvation of the world. That's the most central message of Fatima, is this, the conversion of sinners and the peace in the world,
right,
through reparation, through sacrifices, and through prayer. That's why Our Lady asked Sister Lucia to promote also the devotions of the first Saturdays, and mainly since the beginning of the apparitions, it was the first thing that Our Lady asked to the children, to pray the rosary every day.
So every day, yeah.
These two devotions will reach this kingdom of God that we all want to come, to reach this peaceful world and this community of the church to reach every world. So we are trying to convey this message to receiving the pilgrims, but also afterwards to permit to the pilgrims, when they return to their homes, they can live the message of Fatima. That's why the connection with World Apostolate of Fatima International and the movement Message of Fatima in Portugal is so important for the sanctuary, because this is a way that the people, when they return home, they can still live the message of Fatima, they can continue this connection with Our Lady of Fatima, with the message and this life that Our Lady asked us to live.
Okay, fantastic. Now, so we're going to come back. I want to come back to that, because the message is crucial, and why it's pertinent, important today, imperative today, really, that we live, that we do what we've been asked to do, you know.
Certainly.
But again, so if we can just go back and give just a little bit of a history or the experience, what happened in 1917? I think it started in 1917?
1916.
1916 with the angel, right?
Because keep in mind, there were 11 manifestations.
Okay.
We talk about the 6 messages of Our Lady in 1917, and of course, that was the essence, but the reality is it began in 1916 when the Angel of Peace appeared 3 different times to the children and brought them a method of prayer and adoration, taught them, formed them spiritually, quite frankly. When Our Lady appeared to them in May of 1917, they were already spiritually formed by these appearances, the prayers they were taught, the prayers of adoration, the Eucharist. This was given to them ahead of time. So when Our Lady came in May, and the six apparitions from May through October was what the message was. They prepared them. She gave the message. And then the last two manifestations came to Sister Lucia later in the convents when she was a cloistered sister.
Okay.
So you're talking really about 11 manifestations from heaven that really make up the Fatima message.
And going back to, you're right, we forget about the angel.
Exactly.
The angel of peace, was it?
The angel of peace, yes.
Right.
Yes.
And the what most impresses me about that, and I tell you, especially when we look at the times in which we find ourselves, but if I recall, the first thing was the adoration due to God, humble adoration. I mean, really, forget yourself and humbly prostrate and adore Almighty God. I think this was the first, and then of course you said the Eucharist with it. They received the Eucharist from the angels, angel
in the
third apparition
in the autumn. The angel brought the chalice with the blood of Christ and host, and prostrating, they taught them the second angel prayer, O Most Holy Trinity, I adore you, and gave communion, the host, to Lucia, because she had already made first communion, and then the chalice to Francisco and Jacinta. And these two dimensions, first the adoration, and then afterwards the adoration to the Eucharist, is how the manifestation begins. And it ends the last apparition in Tui, in 29. Lucia saw the Most Holy Trinity, the traditional image, with the words grace and mercy.
Yeah,
that's how the message of Fatima ended, with these two words, grace and mercy.
Well, which brings up another. We'll come into that moment, because I just want to first, I wonder if Father, if you think about this, or David, certainly, and Christina's, by the way, and so you should come on the radio, Christina. Christina's been to Fatima. That's one of her favorite.
She's been there with us.
With you, that's right. Absolutely. I've been there as well. This is a very peaceful place. But it seems to me that one of our, this is my opinion, but one of the gravest errors of our time in the church is, and I was telling somebody just the other day about this, in fact, until we get the Eucharist right, what is right worship? What is our rightful participation in the celebration of the sacred mysteries of our faith? And that is, this idea, the adoration, that we come humbly before God, to offer our lives to Jesus in preparation for this encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist. It seems to me that, even among priests, I'm making a judgment here, but I think it's a valid judgment, we've just lost that sense of
sacredness.
The sacred.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we humbly come before God. Mm-hmm. So I thought it's very interesting, and that this would be the way by which the children were prepared, so that they would be properly disposed for the apparition of Our Lady and the message that would come with that.
Eucharistic reparation, that's the essence of the Fatima message. And that actually was given to the children truly before Our Lady appeared to them. It was given to them by the angel, concept of Eucharistic reparation.
Okay, and explain that, define that, Eucharistic reparation.
Well, I mean, we've had one chaplain we had at our home, our retreat center hotel in Fatima, Domus Pacis, Father McSherry, always put it very well with his strong, gravelly voice, that the Fatima message is Eucharistic reparation, and he would bellow it out. But he was so absolutely right, because we are to make reparation for sin. Our Lady, obviously, she opened up the earth and showed, in the July apparition, showed the vision of hell and said that people go to hell because there's no one to pray for them and to make reparation for sin, for our own sins, first and foremost, and then for those of others, We have an obligation to do this, and there's no better way to do it than in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the real presence.
Okay.
You know that here, obviously, because it's such a big part of your parish life here.
Right.
And it is something that is, it really is the foundational part of our Catholic faith, okay? Because in that time when the angel taught them all these things, the pardon prayer is a good example of that too. You know, my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. And I beg pardon for those who do not believe,
right.
do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee.
Right.
If there's a mission statement for our apostolate, there it is.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do, you know, to bid people to live that way, to ask for pardon for their sins and for others, you know, to earn that, to make reparation to God for all of the terrible things we have done, you know, I mean, by our fallen nature.
Okay. And so the Eucharistic reparation, the sacrilege, when we fail to or choose not to recognize, I mean, this is the sublime mystery of the Church, right? Jesus present to us in the Blessed Sacrament, this encounter we have with the Lord. I mean, I was reading an article this morning, and it had to do with the Mass, you know, and what has happened, you know, over the last several decades. And there was a clip from a movie. I don't even know the name of the movie, but Elvis Presley was in a movie, and they showed a Mass that was being celebrated in 1967 or something. And this is even before the priest, you know, was facing the people.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie clip, you can see the absolute. I mean, the people were, you know, the guitars and the singing and
right.
the clapping and the dancing and all that. While the priest was at the altar,
mm-hmm.
but it's as if the Eucharist or what was happening, the drama that was unfolding mysteriously on the altar of sacrifice, was completely veiled, completely hidden from the people. That there was this preoccupation, looking at each other, and this superficial kind of celebration,
mm-hmm.
and all the while, this would be a sacrilege by my understanding,
sure.
you know.
Sure, yeah. Taken too far, it is, yeah.
One thing that is important also, that's the apparitions of the angel appeared not in a church, but in the wild.
Right.
In the fields where the children are grazing the sheep. And so the angel appeared in the wild, in the countries. And I think that it means also that we must take Jesus with us in
the world.
Communion, in Eucharisty, to our world.
Sure.
We must take Jesus. The adoration, the true adoration of God is foremost, yes, behind, in front of the Most Blessed Sacrament, but also to try to understand that the world is creation of God, is a work of God. So we go to communion, we go to Mass, we receive Jesus, and we are also a monstrance of Jesus
right.
in the world.
Right.
So we must live a holy life, and that's what the angel said to the little shepherds: offer sacrifices, offer praise constantly for reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So we can, in our daily job, be a reparation through Eucharist. Even Jesus said to Sister Lucia in one of the last apparitions, visions, that the sacrifices that God wants is that each person live their life in their situation
right.
as a priest, as a nun, or a brother, and as a married couple, as a worker, as a teacher or a student. This is true sacrifice, to offer the daily sacrifices, the small sacrifices
sure.
of the daily life, of the little annoyances that we have in traffic, in school, in the work, with the co-workers. This is truly the good sacrifices that,
right.
that... How can we live this grace of God in our daily life without the Eucharist?
Daily yes. duty.
Exactly.
Daily duty. That's
you know,
what
it's interesting
about, yeah, right.
because that's a reading that's coming up this Sunday. Paul in his letter to the... maybe to the Corinthians. It always seems safe to say to the Corinthians, yes, to the Corinthians, but he says to be free of anxieties. But he talks about the unmarried man and the married man and the woman. In other words, the point is, you know, to live the faith has to be lived in fidelity to our state of life. Now, it's interesting too, because Pope Francis, I was reading his Lenten message already about that maybe to give up what we need to do is give up indifference for Lent. And the point being that and one of the points that he makes is that we have to be conscious of the fact that we, and this is disposition, receptivity to the sacrament we receive, so that we become what we consume. Mm-hmm. So that as we have this privileged and very graced and very, you know, unworthy, as we say, Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof, say but only the word and I shall be healed. This encounter, this reception of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament, so that we can then bring the Lord, and it goes back to this recurring message of the Holy Father, that we have to go out, be very conscious of where the mission is. So it's very interesting. But it all really precludes the fact that we recognize Jesus is present to us in a very distinct and very unique way in the Holy Sacrament, yes, in the Blessed Sacrament.
One of the important things in the Shrine of Fatima is that since 1960, we had perpetual adoration in the shrine.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So, because it's also a very important dimension of,
right,
of you, and we have constantly people in the shrine,
right,
praying. That's why we also moved the chapel of the perpetual adoration, moved already three times.
Yeah,
because
bigger.
The space is so small,
sure,
that we must bring a bigger chapel, and now a bigger chapel.
Right, right.
The former chapel, the last one was also only place for 60 people.
Yeah, I was in that one.
And
yeah,
now
yeah,
we have right, yeah, the new one, the new perpetual adoration is a place for 200 people. So
wow,
it's a big difference.
Okay.
And it's packed.
Yeah.
Especially during summer, it's always full of people who are there for an hour, 2 hours praying.
This is a powerful, powerful sign. And we're going to take a break. We'll come back and let's come back to this, because it's interesting over the years. Actually, as you said, the increase in the number of doors. I mean, this
right,
is throughout the world.
Absolutely.
You know? How the Blessed Virgin Mary, I believe, you know, through the century since then, has been sprinkling the world with sanctuaries. I would consider even here that we have a sanctuary, a few people that may come, but nonetheless, it's not about numbers. But at the same time, the numbers have increased.
Mm-hmm.
So the message is not irrelevant. In fact, it's mm-hmm, it is pertinent, and it's imperative that we heed the call of Our Lady at Fatima. So when we come back, let's kind of shift over into the message, again, the message of Our Lady at Fatima. And then why is it, how are we hearing the call today? We'll talk about that. And also the connection between, I'd like to ask this question. You just kind of alluded to this fact, Father, but the connection, or maybe, David, you had mentioned Christ and mercy.
Sure.
You know, how this relates to the message of divine mercy.
Absolutely.
As well.
So absolutely, we'll very connected.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I've got David Carolla and Father Francisco Pareda he's the chaplain to the shrine, the sanctuary of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal. So right at the heart of it, you know, it's right there. So this is a real blessing and privilege to have both of you here today with us. We'll be right back. And Father Anthony, you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We join our Chaldean Catholics in prayer to the Mother of God for peace in the Middle East. Mother of God, Virgin Mary, be for us a safeguard from all illnesses and hardships. Through the great love you have for Christ, ask and beseech him to be merciful to us, to give healing to our ailments, to console the downtrodden, to unite those who are scattered, and to forgive us.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us this morning. We're really privileged. Today's Friday, you know, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, but we're very happy to have Father Francisco Pereira from Portugal, from the shrine. He is the chaplain of the shrine, the sanctuary of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal, where the apparitions actually took place. And there are millions of pilgrims that are coming every year. The procession in the evening is just, you have to be there to experience it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
and that happens every night, right? Every evening. Yeah.
Every season, yes.
Every season. Mm-hmm. But just before, and of course, David Carrello, who's the executive director of World Apostle of Fatima in the United States and also part of the International World Apostolate of Fatima.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The message of Our Lady to the children. So she had. We move from the apparition of the angel, the appearance of the angel, to the children and the three children, Lucia,
Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta.
And Jacinta, and all have the two children died young.
Yeah, the two children died 2 years. Francisco died in 1919. And Jacinta died in 1920 with the flu that came through all Europe after the First World War. And Lucia stayed a little bit longer. Our Lady asked her to stay
88
a little
years
bit longer.
Longer.
Yeah, right, I was going to say.
88 years longer.
Yeah, a little time.
Lucia died in February 13th, 2005. So, but the message of Our Lady is a message of especially of hope. Well, the world is bad in the beginning of the century. Benedict XVI said it. It's interesting too. When all Europe was covered by the darkness, God opens a little window of light in Portugal, a small country. So it's a message of exigence, also of conversion. Our Lady calls us to conversion. The last message, the last words of Our Lady in October, in the last apparition, is do not offend much more God, because she's so offended. So do not offend more God. So it's exigence message. Convert, convert. If you convert, the peace will be near. The conversion of the sinners will be rich. So we try to reach this conversion through prayer and sacrifices.
And if we don't heed the message, what does she say? She said, if there is, I mean, it's the contrast is quite interesting, really, when you think of 1917, and here we are in 2015, right? Mm-hmm. 2015. Right. The contrast, especially in the area of morality, and again, when we talk about the Eucharistic sacrilege or sacrilege, in a wide variety of ways. But she said that if there's going to be peace, then and she gave us the peace plan, right?
Peace plan for
right.
heaven.
Yes. You've already said that, you know, to pray the rosary, the first Saturday devotion. We have to talk about that as well.
Sure.
And but if the world doesn't heed the message coming out of this remote village in Portugal, Fatima, what are the consequences?
Well, the main consequences was Russia shall spread their errors. And what is the errors of Russia, of communism? Atheism, moral relativism, the devaluation of human life, because humans are seen as a tool for an end. So that's, and now we are seeing all these dangers, not only because communism, but because the liberalism, if I can say so.
Sure, sure. You can say it. Here you can say it.
Not even here in the States, but
everywhere.
Even also in Portugal and all Europe. Well, when they tried to make the law, the basic law for all the European community, they tried to put the presence of God in this in right this basic law, but the most number of deputies of congressmen in the European Parliament said, no, we do not want right. God in our constitution. So the constitution was chopped and disappeared.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the EU constitution has no mention of God in it.
Right, no.
I mean, of the, what
there is no constitution.
There's no constitution, exactly, yeah.
So obviously the message hasn't been heeded. It hasn't been heeded.
Yes, and so...
And by the way, and Father, just to mention, because I think it's important, because I have a question, too, about the Russia. But Russia, at the time, and this is why, from what I read, from what I understand, you know, historically speaking, mm-hmm. at the time, Russia was it was a religious country, poor country, illiterate country.
They are starting the Bolshevik Revolution right. in mm-hmm. 1917, so it was a danger. And soon, Russia spread their hairs. But the problem is not now, we have not Russia like communists, but we have this moral mm-hmm. relativism, this devaluation of life with abortions, with euthanasia, this moral irrelevancy of truth. The truth is what you want, not a moral value, a moral compass. So we are still in this danger of destruction of the humankind mm-hmm. through the errors of the world.
Yeah. Well, Russia did spread its errors, let's be honest.
Well, there's no doubt.
So I think, that's she said, you know, if my warnings are heeded, you know, if not, it'll be a second greater war. Well, World War II came and went. The Cold War came. It was 1984 when Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II, consecrated the world per her request. Now, many argue that, when Sister Lucia was asked, was this an acceptable consecration? I believe she said, look to the east and look what happened. I mean, look what happened. The Berlin Wall comes down. I mean, these things are not just coincidence. But the reality is, before this happened, Russia spread her errors, and no more than here in the United States. Look at what's going on. I mean, look at the morality, lack of morality, everything here. I mean, this is what it was all about.
But at the time, in Russia, it was just beginning. So it was kind of unbelievable to many that how could Russia possibly spread its errors throughout the world?
International communism,
right?
Atheistic international communism.
Go ahead.
The funny thing that we can perceive also the importance and the value of the apparitions, because the children thought that Our Lady is talking about the donkey that one of the neighbors. Sure. It's called Russia.
Okay.
It's,
They had no idea.
They had no idea what Russia is but they told it. So it's important, this mystery.
Since we're talking about Russia, let me just ask, so if we look at Russia today, you know, and I know there's the broader international issues we're dealing with, the degradation of life and total outright lack of respect for life what seems to be, or the question is, are we undergoing the apostasy that Scripture speaks about, an apostasy, you know, the moving away, walking away mm-hmm. To abandon the church, abandon Christ. But does Russia today look and act as if it's been converted, as Our Lady of Fatima promised would be the case if it were consecrated to her? So today, you know, here, 2015, or one... might put the same question into more, you know, theological terms. Do you see the spiritual fruits of Russia's conversion?
Well, you do, Father, because keep in mind, you know, conversion is a process. Okay, and it's been 20-some years. Well, 20 years, I mean, is nothing. You know, I mean, Our Lady told Lucia, you'll be here a while longer. That's 88 years. Yeah. That was 88 years. It gives you a little perspective on eternity
right. When
you think about that, okay? So, that, well, you know, is 20 years a lot of time? I don't think so. I mean, when you think of 70 years of mandated atheism, okay, where I once heard figures that perhaps at one point as many as 70% of all pregnancies in Russia were aborted. I don't know how Human Life International and those organizations could tell me if those are right figures. But the reality is you don't change these things overnight. But but there is a fact that the faith is now being put into schools there. I mean, there is faith is on the upsurge. Now, granted, it was way low, obviously, because it was illegal. But, I mean, it's on the way up. Where is it in this country? It's on its way down.
Sure, sure,
So certainly, from a perspective, we're probably still in a much better position. But what direction are we going in, and what direction are they going in? I mean, would you ever imagine that we would be mandated to, you know, to pay for the, some of the things we do by our tax dollars in this country? As in this country, I mean, 50 years ago, that was unheard of. It was impossible.
And we have many years ago, since many years ago, pilgrims from Ukraine. But last year, for the first time,
from Russia,
we had three organized pilgrimage from Russia.
Interesting, very interesting.
In May last year, 2014.
So, that's interesting, So, you know, so there are fruits there, and no doubt. And in fact, you know, I want to remind our listeners, because I've mentioned this a few times, and I found it fascinating when this I think was in the 1950s, Stalin said that America, her strength is her patriotism, her morality, and her religiosity. If we can undermine her patriotism, if we can undermine her spirituality, her religiosity, and her morality, then she'll destroy herself from within. It's a very interesting, isn't it, when you consider
prophetic,
what's
isn't
happening.
It?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
It's exactly what Alexander Solzhenitsyn said when he came here after being exiled from Russia. And if you remember, he gave the commencement address at Harvard after he'd won the Nobel Peace Prize, and I'm going to say 1970, don't recall the exact year. But he was ringing out a warning to this country. Yeah. As to what, wake up, folks, you're going in the wrong direction here.
Yeah.
He saw it coming.
And that was, what year was that?
I believe 1970.
See, can you imagine? And just think about where we are now. That was the 1970s.
It's 45 years ago.
Yeah. I was in high school.
Yeah, I was, I was still in high school myself. Absolutely, yeah.
You know, what's interesting, I was listening to somebody, I don't know if, David, if you were at the pro-life march.
I was there in Washington last week.
Were you?
I was there for a couple of days, and our people were there. We had a table at the exhibition and everything. It was really very nice. It's a great feeling to be part of that. And this year, it was absolutely packed compared to last year where the weather was difficult. But this year, it was, as a matter of fact, when we were down in Alabama, we had a discussion with Father Joseph Mary, who's also narrating for EWTN.
Sure.
And we both said the same thing. I mean, it seemed like, you know, just people kept coming and coming. So,
what's interesting is, speaking to some people that were part of it, young people that were part of the march, I was talking to them yesterday, and they were talking with police. There was a group of police there, and the police officers said that, you know, what's interesting about this march over the years, not only has it grown significantly, but it's one of the largest marches they have.
Is
the
largest.
The largest.
Absolutely.
Most peaceful and the cleanest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it doesn't get the attention.
Yeah.
It doesn't get the attention.
Absolutely not. I'll tell you a story. As we were walking towards the rally before the march, and there were two young girls with the saddest looks on their face, carrying these signs that said "Keep abortion legal." You know, the ones that they okay. And so this like six or eight young people about their age, they were teenagers, pro-life kids with the balloons and everything, walking over, and they went over and started talking to these girls, you know. And I was almost like our people, the pro-life people, were so happy and so enthused and like filled with joy at what they were doing. And the others were just holding these signs, kind of like almost cowering. And they weren't being threatened or anything. I mean, certainly they were a minority in that crowd, but it wasn't even that. You could just see that they just were trying to. I don't think they really knew what they were even doing.
No,
they were
course.
Young.
Yeah.
They were, I don't know.
You consider the, you know, all the bad news, we're inundated with bad news every day. Mm-hmm. And something, especially, the other thing is the youngest, as far as the numbers, the young people.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think that would be, you know, this would be, that we would be, we would be jealous about trying to get the message out. The media, I'm talking about the state, the media, to get the message and say, people, look at this is a positive. This is a sign of hope. This is a light in the darkness. But it's ignored. It's ignored.
Yeah. But it does tell you that going forward, you know, you do not change society. You know, like our whole apostolate is that we are trying to Fatima message overall is you have to change people's hearts.
Sure.
You can fight legislatively, okay? And, you know, and if Roe versus Wade was overturned tomorrow, 45 states would make abortion legal the next day anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so my point is you're not going to get rid of abortion by that one act, but it's a move in the right direction.
Yeah.
You have to win it in people's hearts, just like you have to the apostolate, the work. You will have to make people want to understand and live according to what Our Lady asked them to do in 1917 if you want them to live the message of Fatima.
Okay, listen, we do have to take a break because we got to get these three breaks in today. But I want, when we come back, then let's pick off on that. You know, in other words, so the mercy, okay? Because how do you change the hearts of the people? And how does the mercy, the message of mercy, tie into the message of Fatima, specifically the divine mercy? If we can talk about that a little bit too, okay? So we're with Father Francisco Pereira from Portugal, the chaplain of the shrine, the Sanctuary of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal, and David Carolla, who's the Executive Director, World Apostle of Fatima of the United States. And very happy to have you guys here with us today. So don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The best candidate for marriage is the very person who would be a good candidate for monasticism. And the best candidate for monasticism would be the very person who would be a good candidate for marriage. I'm Father Thomas J. Loy with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Celibacy and marriage are not opposed to each other. They're actually two sides of the same coin. Marriage and celibacy are both choices to love, to make a gift of self, to live spousally. Happy marriages are those which have the element of the monastic in them, prayer, discipline, dying to self, and a sense of belonging ultimately to God. A celibate is happiest when he or she lives their celibacy spousally, making a gift of self to God and to others. The married couple reminds the celibate of the spousal dimension of his or her celibacy. The celibate reminds the married couple of the sacramental nature of their marriage. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this Friday before the weekend, TGIF, as always. By the way, the end of the month, you know, January is gone. Sunday is already February, and Lent is right around the corner. We'll be talking about that next week. Yeah. In any case, we've got Father Francisco Pereira here from, he's the chaplain of the Sanctuary of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal, the heart of the whole message, the whole experience, the prophetic, really, the heart of the prophetic. And David Carolla, who's for so many years, how many years you guys have been involved in?
For many years, yes. I was a trustee for many years, and then I was the president of the Board of Trustees nationally for some time. And then I took on a director's job 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Quite a long time. Yeah. Actually, my family, they were the founders sort of the Blue Army here in Chicago in the 1950s.
Wow.
So it's been
you're going way back.
It was
back.
Always there. Yeah. Wow. Whether or not I followed it.
You were just a child. You were just a little.
Yeah. I was born at 55. So yeah.
Oh yeah. We're the same age.
The same age. Yes.
Hey, this is the big year for us, right?
You got it. Yes, that's right. Oh please. Yeah, I know.
I know.
One starts with a six.
Exactly. Yeah. How about that? But anyway, you know, before we talk about bringing the mercy, the connection to the message of divine mercy, I wanted because we were talking about the pro-life march, and there is this this sign of hope, really. It's just unbelievable, and especially the young people. But Father, we were just talking in the break, and maybe it's very interesting, you know, because there has been an increase of pilgrims at the shrine, the sanctuary. But talk a little bit about that again.
Yes, we had an increase from some countries, a slight decrease in other countries, but the most wonderful for us is that the south of Korea pilgrims are increased exponentially, because they started to pray for the unification of the country, and they turned to our mother, Our Lady of Fatima, so that she can help them to reach this goal. So they are making a sanctuary near the border, near the fence of the DMZ, and they are coming to Fatima almost a group each week.
It's amazing.
And sometimes we have every day when we pray the rosary at night, we can see in front of us a group of Korean people.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that new countries are discovering, like I said before, Russia, South Korea. New countries are discovering the importance of the message of Fatima and are coming to us to reach this well of grace and hope and strength and conversion. Yes,
it's absolutely fascinating because you know the show is, you know, the winds have changed, the landscape has changed considerably.
Absolutely.
And even the fact that, you know, when Pope Francis was in the Philippines just this past week, or the week, was it last week? I was in Rome when he was. I was there. He said goodbye to me, and, you know, said pray for me as I go to Sri Lanka and the Philippines. But it's 6 million people in the storm.
6 million. I mean, just think of that in one mass. Now, John Paul, I think, had 5 million.
Right.
Some years back, but I mean, 6 million people. You know,
it's amazing.
We had a conversation actually yesterday. Our one custodian, our statue custodian, is from the Philippines, and Patrick, and he said he was there for John Paul's Mass in 94, 95,
perhaps,
whatever year when he was there, when there were five, he was in that 5 million crowd. He said, no, 6 million for this one. So, I mean, I can't even imagine that many people in one assembly.
It is. It's fascinating. And as I said, you know, early on, our Lady is sprinkling the world with sanctuaries. I know that here we feel this, a unique presence, a unique kind of intimacy, a presence with the Blessed Virgin, and yet we, you know, time, you know, what does the future hold? We don't know, but we know that the doors are open. We've created the space, the ambiance, whereby, you know, and by the way, here in Chicago, you talk at St. John Cantius and St. Mary of the Angels, right here, Holy Trinity, right down the street, but. Yeah. It's kind of a corridor of all these beautiful...
living here, it's a blessing. This is one of the reasons why Dorothy and I always say, we want to move? No. With all the beautiful churches and the masses and you know, but most people don't live in that anymore, you see. So we're living a little bit in a fantasy world, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
They have this many good churches and all these devotional things available to us. There are people who live, even in some of the suburbs, it's...
Sure.
Fewer and far between. It's just the nature of things.
So the whole mystique of the Anawim, you know, the little flock, the believers, the little flock, the faithful people, you know, sinners that we are. Again, Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof, but say only the word, and my soul will be healed. But nonetheless, we're what was it? The psalm today, or was it yesterday? You know, this is the people that longs to see your face. I believe it was. You know,
right,
or the light or whatever. Mm-hmm. But so we're seeking out that light now, you know. So there are these wonderful signs against the bigger picture of the world. What's happening? The decadence and the disorder. And all, go ahead, you're going to say something.
We're going to win.
We're going to win.
We know how it ends.
Okay.
We don't know what's going to happen between now and then necessarily, but we are going to win. We know that. That promise was given to us by our Lord, obviously. And by Our Lady at Fatima. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no question. Not may, could, it will.
Yeah. So we know that there's not a competition between, in fact, the reading this Sunday, the gospel. It's always because who are the first to recognize Jesus in the gospels? But it was the demonic, the devils, right? Because we know who you are. We know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and he says, come out. And they came out and the guy was exorcised. But the, just a question, and then we got to get into the question of mercy, and then, of course, what we need to do. You know, the message, what needs to be done, the annihilation of nations. Because that is, you know, at the time of the apparitions in 1917, that was kind of unthinkable. It was how could such a thing happen? Now today, can you maybe, Father, you want to say something about that?
Well, all the 20th century showed the disappearance and reappearance of so many countries after World War I, after World War II, all these political changes, even in Africa. Now the problems that we are having with the Middle East, with the ISIS, all these countries that are turning around, that's the problem is that if we have confidence only in men, when we try to build a country, a civilization without God, and we have the communism empire, we have so many empires who are trying to build a new generation of men, starting in Marx and Nietzsche, the Superman of Nietzsche, the man without God, and we see that when the man tried to build a civilization without God, it destroys man. It auto-destroys himself. That's why the nations are falling. And they must rebuild with a small flock, like you said, a small flock of faithful who tries to rebuild from nothing a true nation of God, a true church, a true people and kingdom of God. Yes. So,
well, let me ask you, because you're in Europe, you live in Europe, you're in Portugal. I just got back from Rome. I go there once a year, so I've been for many, many years following the BBC and the CNN International. I don't know if you follow the news networks there, but it was very interesting. I've mentioned it on the radio. I wrote about it this week in the bulletin, but in the aftermath of the killing of the 12 at the Charlie Hebdo headquarters, and then, of course, the subsequent depiction of Muhammad crying and all will be forgiven, I was just amazed at the reverence and the respect that was given to the Prophet Muhammad by the media people, and then, of course, in the interview with moderate Muslims, not the radical, but the moderate Muslims and all that, and the outrage and the sense of a sacrilege, you know, what they perceive to be a sacrilege against their beloved prophet. But the secular media goes out of its way to be extremely respectful and reverential in regards to Muhammad. Now, over the years, I've seen just the contrary when it comes to Christ and when it comes to the church.
Right.
So being in Europe at this time in this, what do you think? I mean, what?
Well, the European media and thinkers and opinion makers, they are afraid.
It's fear.
They are afraid of the violence of the Islam. They know that they can mock what they want about Christians. They can mock the Pope. They can mock the bishops. There are no consequences.
Yeah.
But if they talk, I read in the paper that one museum in Britain removed a poster of the Muhammad because they have afraid of the violence.
Yeah.
And that's fear who are manipulating and closing the country.
Yeah.
And I don't know what we must do.
Well, I think it probably goes back to the, and we got to take one final break, but we got to come back to the, let's do talk about the mercy and then also what do we do? But, you know, the need for prayer, right? The need for prayer, because it's just too big. You know, the problems out there are just too big. Let's take a final break, and then we can come back and wrap up. Let's go right into the connection between Fatima and mercy, and then what do we do? What do we do? Okay,
absolutely.
So don't go away, people. We'll be right back to wrap up. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. See St. Patrick's Ireland this summer with Colette Vacations and your hosts Jim and Kathleen Littleton of Forming Faithful Families. Get to know the soul of Ireland on a faith-based journey that blends the history and culture with the most revered pilgrimage sites that have been touched by St. Patrick. All-inclusive 11-day trip includes guided tour of Dublin and Galway with visits to Christ Church Cathedral, Trinity College, and the Book of Kells, Castlebar, the Shrine of Our Lady of Knock, County Mayo, Kylemore Abbey Monastery, Billeek Pottery, Belfast, Omega, Down Cathedral, and much more. This summer, St. Patrick's Ireland will spark your spirit, refresh your faith, and touch your soul. Trip leaves Saturday, June 6, 2015. For free brochure and more information, contact Apollo Travel at 815-469-2200 and visit formingfaithfulfamilies.com. See St. Patrick's Ireland this summer with Colette Vacations and your hosts, Jim and Kathleen Littleton of Forming Faithful Families.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I am so frustrated because we're getting out of time here. But, David, right away, let's go right into the connection between the message of Our Lady of Fatima and the message of the Divine Mercy. We've got just a couple of minutes.
Well, just quickly, some people have said that the Divine Mercy was the last message of Fatima. I've heard that said before because 1929, you get the last apparition to Sister Lucia, grace and mercy.
Right.
2 years later, Sister Faustina, mercy, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world right there. This was a time, now it's time to turn to the mercy of God. Maybe because we didn't follow a lot of things that were asked before, God still wants to give us something. He still wants to offer it to us, And he says, mercy, not the justice of God. We don't ask for that. That will come. It will come at some point, as it has many times.
I was asking somebody the other day. In fact, I asked this question in the bulletin letter this week about what seems to be a kind of self-loathing we have in the West for Christianity and Christ.
Yeah.
And the response I got, it was actually Geraldine, who's usually on the show, and she said it's because it's a self-loathing that we're not living the message of the gospel. We're not being true to the law of God that is written into our hearts.
Yeah. And we don't get angry enough.
Yeah.
And I don't mean angry in some violent sense, but we need to be incensed by this type of thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And so the need for this call to mercy, so that there is a way out of this darkness. Okay, very quick, the time is going so fast. What to do?
What Our Lady asked, prayer of the rosary every day, devotion of the first Saturdays monthly, and offering daily sacrifices. That's how we could reach the fall of the communism in this way, with these tools, prayer of the rosary, offering daily sacrifices, and living the first Saturdays as a way to the conversional, personal conversion, the first Saturdays as a way to reach personal conversion and to reach the conversion of the world with adoration, prayer, and rosary.
Okay, so we're out of time. It all begins with prayer. David, you're gonna be back here
anytime,
next week,
Father,
maybe,
yes.
I think,
I'd love that. Anytime. I'd love
so
to come
back. So
we
can talk about the first Saturday.
Let's do that. That'd be wonderful. Thank you, Father.
Father, both of you, thank you so much for being with us. Father,
thank you.
God bless you in your travels and in your ministry, your mission, and boy, we're going to go there. We got to get over there to Fatima.
Come on.
Everybody, thanks for being with us. A wonderful weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.